From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. The public now has access to a database of police misconduct records from nearly 700 California law enforcement agencies. It's the first resource of its kind in the nation and will allow people access to information that's critical for stakeholders in the criminal legal system. The database, called the Police Records Access Project, is a years-long collaboration between CalMatters, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, and KQED. Suki Lewis is a criminal justice reporter for KQED and joins us now. Welcome back, Suki.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Let's start off with a little bit of background. Before all of this information was assembled, how difficult was it to get California law enforcement records, especially when it came to misconduct or use of force incidents?
So, yeah, for decades here in California, it was one of the most secretive states in the country when it came to these police personnel records. There are very strong police unions in the state, and they made it pretty impossible under the law to get access to any kind of disciplinary files, you know, even records related to very serious use of force incidents. The public just didn't really get to see inside of those cases at all.
And so, as a journalist, what are some of the roadblocks that you might encounter when you did request these records?
You know, a lot of what you encountered was, you know, the police telling you or a police chief saying, you know, that case is under investigation, you know, you can't know about it because of confidentiality laws. You know, we'll let you know basically if there's an outcome, but often even the outcome of a case, if it involved discipline, you know, was not known. If it resulted in criminal charges or something like that, that would obviously be known to the public through the criminal legal system. But many cases, never make it to that level. You know, other ways that you could access information was sometimes through lawsuits. But again, it was very, very restricted. It was very hard for the public to get a broader picture of, you know, what police use of force looks like in this state, and also to get an understanding of what that meant. You know, when the police said we're investigating, you know, what does accountability really look like? Were officers who had done something wrong, you know, being held to account? It was really, we just had to trust that this system was working. And, you know, that all began to change, in 2018 when the law started to change.
Well, let's talk about that. There is more transparency now. Tell us about the laws that started to open things up.
Yeah, so in 2018, the state passed the first big sweeping transparency law. It was authored by then State Senator Nancy Skinner, and it was called SB 1421, or the Right to Know Act. And this opened up certain very serious categories of incidents and records. So you still couldn't see everything, but you could see now when officers used a gun, like shot somebody or shot at something, when use of force resulted in great bodily injury. And so those are kind of the use of force categories. And then the misconduct categories that were opened up were sexual misconduct or sexual assault on duty and dishonesty by police officers. And this dishonesty, you know, because police officers have such a central role in our criminal legal system, understanding if an officer had a history of being dishonest is really key to understanding and evaluating, you know, their police reports and also their testimony, you know, should they, you know, have to testify and give evidence in a criminal case.
Now, Suki, just for a little bit more background, this database, it's been in the works for 7 years, I understand, and it involved the work of multiple organizations under the California Reporting Project. Tell us a little bit about that collaboration.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, as journalists, we saw that this change in the law was coming. They passed the law, and then it was going into effect in January 2019. And we began to have conversations about what was our obligation as journalists to start to understand what had been this black box of police accountability. And We began to have conversations with other newsrooms about how we could perhaps work together to get the broadest possible picture of police use of force and police misconduct in the state. And so that became what became known as the California Reporting Project. And on January 1st, 2019, we sent out hundreds of requests to basically every law enforcement agency, oversight agency, anyone that might have these records in the state of California. And that kind of began the very beginning of this project, which has taken, you know, as you know, many years to kind of get to this point now.
Right. You're sort of 7 years fast forwarded here, and now the database is public. So tell us what kind of records are in the database and how do you go about using it?
Yeah. So the types of records, as I mentioned, you know, are based on that expansion of the law. And then in 2021, the state passed a further expansion of it called SB 16, which opened up a couple more categories of records, including excessive use of force and cases where officers had been found to have discriminated on the basis of race or gender or sexual orientation or so on. And so those records are the kind of types of cases that you will find, you know, in this database. And as we began that process of kind of collecting those records, we kind of wanted to go back in time as well. So it wasn't just a picture of these records going forward, but also a picture going back in time. And so we requested records going back at least 5 years, but sometimes longer, you know, beginning in 2014. And basically started to compile as many of these records as we could. And it's a really unique challenge because California has hundreds of different law enforcement agencies, and the way they create and store these records is all really different. So it's not like you can just, you know, get a beautiful spreadsheet from every single law enforcement agency that matches the same one from every other one. So what we were getting were these really rich documents that showed the investigative process, that showed, you know, the, you know, officers' testimony about their decision-making around use of force and these really interesting and complex things. But then there was also some really big challenges with how to make that information public, because it often included information that sometimes the agency should have redacted and didn't, like victim names, you know, confidential witness names, even sometimes social security numbers and privacy information. And so we realized, oh, we can't just kind of be a straight conduit to make this public immediately. We need to work with data scientists, with, you know, people at UC Berkeley and Stanford to do some, you know, basically figure out how to make it public in a way that was responsible and took care of some of that information that shouldn't be made public.
Well, Suki, now that it is public, I'm wondering what kind of feedback or response from police and other law enforcement agencies have you received since publishing the database? Have they raised any concerns?
I personally have not heard any concerns from them. I have heard the main, you know, responses that I've heard have been positive. I did reach out to the California Police Chiefs Association to see, you know, if this might be a tool that they might use, that chiefs might find useful in hiring and so forth, but they didn't respond to my request for comment. I think, well, it's early days yet, and we'll kind of see how this plays out. But I think the idea is that these are all public documents. It's not meant, you know, to put anyone on blast. It's just meant to give this transparency, make this transparency that the state decided it wanted, and make it truly transparent to the public. So you don't have to go, every individual person doesn't have to go through this lengthy public records process, which often includes a legal fight, to get these records that should just be, you know, the property of the public.
Suki, we have a clip that you provided from Cephas Johnson, whose nephew Oscar Grant was fatally shot by a BART police officer in Oakland in 2009. In this clip, Johnson talks about the importance of having this information.
We're just saying, that in this database, everything that occurred in the particular case is now available to the family to read or investigate themselves. And that in itself is the beginning of part of the healing process, but also the understanding of what kind of journey they're on in seeking justice for their loved one.
So, Suki, from what Johnson says there and your experience helping to put this together, what's the significance of the database being made public?
I think, you know, Cephas Johnson, he's such a key person in this. Like, has been a police transparency advocate and helped get that Senate Bill 1421 passed back in 2018. And it's as he described it to me, it's a continuum, right? Like, it begins with transparency, and then comes the public push for more accountability. The state passed, you know, Senate Bill 2, which is the decertification law, which allows the badges of officers who have been found to commit egregious misconduct to be removed so they can no longer be police officers in the state of California. And, you know, transparency itself isn't complete here. So there is this kind of ongoing push for more transparency and more accountability and more understanding of how policing works in this state. And I think the other, you know, thing that Cephas is speaking to is like what this means for families. And this was a really important piece of it for me personally, and I think for so many people who worked on this project, was how do we get records in the hands of people for whom it is most urgent and most personal. And that's people who have had their loved ones or had their own lives been touched by police violence in some way. And so our hope is that this can, you know, as Cephas Johnson says, be that first step in the healing process for them.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with KQED criminal justice reporter Suki Lewis about a new police record database, which includes files on thousands of misconduct and use of force incidents. Sticking with law enforcement records and reports, Suki, you also have some new reporting about a bill that would require police officers to disclose when they use AI to write reports. For some context, how are police departments currently using AI?
So it's still very early days yet, but there is some really interesting new technology that is being offered by companies, including most notably probably Axon, which includes this tool called Draft One, that basically during a police encounter, if a police officer has their body camera turned on and it's recording, this software inputs all the audio from that body camera encounter and then turns it into a police report, basically using the same kind of technology as ChatGPT or something like that. And so it's touted as a very big time saver, you know, can, you know, offer police departments who are generally chronically understaffed or can be chronically understaffed a way to have their officers spend more time on the streets and less time, you know, writing reports. Obviously, because of the very important central role that police reports play in our criminal legal system, like these reports are used to determine, you know, bail decisions, charging decisions, all kinds of things. Some people that I have spoken to have raised concerns about how having a different author, having an author that is AI, might change that process. And here in California, there are a handful of departments. Fresno is a large one that is currently using this Draft One technology. I believe San Francisco Police Department is testing it. A number of other ones are testing it across the state. And I think the adoption of it, just as we're seeing AI being adopted in so many areas of different, you know, everything from cheating on tests to you know, even more important applications of AI. I think we'll see the same thing in policing, more adoption of this. And so I think this law is trying to kind of begin to keep up with that or get ahead of that so that we can at least know when this technology is being used in police reports.
So police want to use it to save time. There are concerns about that. Let's listen to a clip you sent from Kate Chatfield, who heads the California Public Defenders Association, about her concerns with the use of AI.
We don't know what we don't know. We don't know if a law enforcement officer may have used some program to generate the police report that they're testifying about. We just don't know that.
Okay, so Suki, Kate Chatfield is sort of laying out some of the concerns. What would this bill actually do? What kind of restrictions would it put in place?
So that's a really big thing. They're not trying to restrict, or it's not trying to restrict the type of software used or even say it shouldn't be used. They are just, the bill would make, require police departments to basically have a footer or some kind of stamp on every page of a police report that uses AI to generate part of it, so that as that police report, you know, makes it through the criminal legal process, all the stakeholders know that AI was, you know, a partial author on it. And it would also require an audit trail that would show, you know, this is the body camera footage that was summarized by the police report, by the AI, and, you know, here is the original that was drafted, and then here are the, is the one that ultimately, with the edits that were made by the police officer, ended up as the formal police report. And, you know, I think that this is an effort to understand, you know, what editorial decisions are potentially being made by the AI itself versus by the officer or their supervisor, and to start to understand, you know, if there are potentials for, you know, for bias, for other issues that we commonly see in the criminal legal system through that is being embedded in this new technology.
And Suki, just very briefly, what is the status of this legislation?
So the bill is currently with the Assembly Appropriations Committee. And so if it moves out of that committee, it would go to a floor vote later this month.
Suki, thank you so much for joining us here on Insight.
Thank you.
Suki Lewis is a criminal justice reporter at KQED. We've been talking about a new police records database, which includes misconduct and use of force reports, as well as a new bill that would require disclosure of using AI when creating police reports. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Chris Nichols.